Get the vaccine. It's the best sore arm you'll ever have. It's 6 o'clock. This is WUSB Stony Brook. Time for Off the Wall. Start a few seconds early because we have a lot of news to talk about tonight, Carl.
Do you?
Yeah. Do we? And not just me. I mean, we all have a lot to say. Yes, it's Emmanuel and Kyle over there.
Yes. Do I sound raspy?
And that's where my usual come in.
It is.
No, you don't sound raspy at all. Why? Do you feel raspy?
No.
Well, then why would you ask that?
If I had extra time. Because it came through a little scratchy on my monitoring.
No, that's static caused by the groundhogs who dig into our wire, if not our sun chokes. Yes, it's another edition of Off the Wall. And, okay, this is going to be an interesting show because so much has happened. The governor's resigning. Well, we kind of knew this was coming, and we kind of called for it weeks ago. Now it's happening. It's not happening right away. It's happening in 2 weeks. So I guess he gave himself 2 weeks' notice. That's how it works. And now we have a new governor coming in. Okay, Kyle, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Do you know the new governor's name?
No.
Okay, and that's an honest answer. And if you had asked me that and I didn't have this piece of paper in front of me, I probably would have said no, too, because, first of all, I'm bad with names. But second of all, we're not talking about this person enough, and we need to. We should.
Is there a first name Nicole?
No. You want to dig yourself in deeper? Or go ahead. Be my guest.
No.
All right, good. Wise decision. Kathy Hochul.
Oh, Kathy.
Kathy Hochul, and you pronounce it like local, so come on, that's easy. So just think, you know, Kathy Hochul, except she's not local, she's Hochul. Kathy Hochul from Buffalo. Kathy Hochul from Buffalo. There you go. And now we have someone to remember. So who is Kathy Hochul? She was the lieutenant governor right now, and this is what she said today, okay? I agree with Governor Cuomo's decision to step down. I guess it would have been unseemly for her to insist on it beforehand since she was next in line. It is the right thing to do and in the best interest of New Yorkers. As someone who has served at all levels of government and is next in the line of succession, I am prepared to lead as New York State's 57th governor. Now, according to this article from Newsday, she's been a low-profile deputy, traveling the state for ribbon cuttings, roundtable discussions, and press conferences on Cuomo's behalf since January 2015, when she replaced Robert Duffy, who does a morning show on USB every other Saturday.
I think it's a different one.
Might be a different one. I didn't have time to check before the show.
Yeah,
but,
no relation.
But if you're doing a Saturday morning show, I don't think you have time to be lieutenant governor, especially for someone like Andrew Cuomo, because he's very hot-tempered and doesn't have good musical taste either. Anyway, according to State Democratic Chairman Jay Jacobs, who I don't think has any show on our station, the good news is Kathy Hochul is... good news is... This is a bizarre sentence. I'm going to assume Newsday messed it up, so I'm just going to say it the way they wrote it. The good news is Kathy Hochul is... She's been prepared for this as long as she's been lieutenant governor. She knows all of the players of the state. They know her and like her. She served at all levels of government. It's funny how it's the same phrase, served at all levels of government. Well, she hasn't. She hasn't served as a senator or as a president or anything like that. It's different levels of government. So she hasn't served at all levels. Maybe all levels below where she is now.
Yeah, I think like all like the operational levels that she would be tasked in leading or... supervising
okay,
other
you know,
leaders.
She's qualified. She's been a town board member, an Erie County clerk, don't know what that entails, and the surprise winner of a special election to fill a congressional seat in western New York. And she also was a not-so-surprisingly one-term congresswoman in what is one of the strongest Republican congressional districts in the state. Okay, great. Now, the question is, will she be the candidate next year? I'm not hearing this talked about enough, and it does need to be talked about, because we cannot have somebody like Lee Zeldin become governor, and even if it's not Lee Zeldin, our representative right here in Suffolk County, it's going to be somebody like him. And bad as Cuomo is, Lee Zeldin is 100 times worse. And I'm sorry, that is just the fact. I mean, yes, groping is bad and needs to be condemned, but being responsible for the death of thousands, if not more, is worse. I don't think that's a controversial statement. And by ridiculing the virus, by encouraging people not to get the vaccine, these are unforgivable crimes, as far as I'm concerned. We've seen it on the Republican side in so many ways. We've seen a few courageous Republicans stand up against it. Not enough. Not nearly enough. And we've also seen the ugly response to them, to those courageous Republicans who stand up and say, what are you talking about? The vaccine is what you have to do in order to survive. This is science. This is medicine. This is common sense. And common sense seems to have flown right out the window. So we need a strong candidate, somebody who is going to kick his ass. And hopefully down here in Long Island, we'll also kick his ass out of Congress as well so that we can go back to some sanity. Wouldn't that be nice? Remember sanity?
So those small misrepresentations and falsehoods, they begin this snowball effect of falsehoods, and if this was the dry run of what the people would allow, I fear, you know, what exactly would be considered okay if given more power, more domain.
Look, bad as Cuomo has been, and there's no question these are unforgivable sins that need to be dealt with, and need to be dealt with after he leaves as well. Look at what DeSantis is doing, okay?
You can't trust this kind of leadership.
No.
People following these kinds of playbooks, you
look
know?
At what Abbott has done in Texas. These are governors, and I'm not seeing enough of a call for their prosecution, for their resignations.
They know better. It's willful ignorance, and they're like little cookie cutters.
In no way does it minimize the sins of Cuomo, but we have to look at the sins of these people. The New York Times immediately called for Cuomo's resignation. They didn't do that in 4 years of Trump. Are we saying Cuomo's worse than Trump? Are we really saying that, New York Times? I don't think anyone with any kind of common sense would believe that for a second. We have to hold everyone to the same level of accountability. I think what Democrats did is a model of what you do when something like this happens. They didn't hold back. They didn't rewrite history. They didn't try to excuse his crimes. They acted. They said impeachment. This is what we have to do. That's how government is supposed to work. So they did their job. And we need to hold accountable those people who do not do their job. And that's been the Republicans. for quite some time now, no matter what happens, whether it's calling for an insurrection, whether it's violence, whether it's racism, whether it's being responsible for the unnecessary deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, the rest of us just seem to let it go and say, yeah, that's how they are.
Or casting doubt on renewable energy.
Oh my God!
And the kinds of effects. And causes
did you
of
see,
climate change.
Did you see the UN report yesterday?
I heard it was red.
It's a red flag for humanity, for the planet. I mean, Finn, we need an hour. We need another hour to talk about that. Okay, you know, I'm sorry, but we had the whole hour for this, and now, yeah, climate change, the end of the planet. No, Finn's
no,
great.
I know
Finn's he's got a great show coming up at 7.
I know he's shaking his head right now, yeah. Right now.
And if he says something, we won't hear him, so hopefully he doesn't.
No, it's fine. He's going through crates, finding music right now.
Okay, let's go back to what we're talking about. Okay, now, I mentioned Lee Zeldin, our non-esteemed congressman. You know, he has tweeted about the vaccine a total of 8 times this year. 8 times. You know, the vaccine is probably the most important thing that we have right now, the thing that will save us, the thing that has already saved so many people. The death toll over 600,000, approaching 700,000, you know, approaching 750,000 people in this country alone, it would have been well over 1 million by now had we not had a vaccine. No question about that. So to only tweet about it 8 times, encouraging people to move their asses, get out there and get this thing as if it's the best, you know, Black Friday ever, you know, take advantage of these sales, go out there and get the jab, get both jabs if you pick one of those vaccines. And, you know, this is the way out of this. What? Okay, I didn't read the tweets. I'm being told that the tweets are not what I thought they were. I just assumed when I was told.
Is he like a giveaway or something?
8 tweets regarding the vaccine. I assumed they were 8 tweets telling people to get the vaccine. No? What's he saying about the vaccine? Okay, I got to read them now. You know, I shouldn't have to do all this homework. Okay, let's see what we have here. It could have given to me in date order.
It's probably just like where to get. You know, where to locate a spot and...
yeah, that's helpful information to tell people where to go.
The gift certificates out when you get a shot.
Okay, this is in random order for some reason. I don't know why we can't do things in... Okay, fine. August 4th. New York City just announced a proof of vaccination mandate for many indoor activities. This over-the-top government knows best authoritarian order is wrong and must be instantly stopped in its tracks. Getting the vaccine, excuse me, I'm losing my breath here. Getting the vaccine should be an individual choice. It's not de Blasio's job to play king. That's your takeaway, Lee Zeldin? Really? Okay, so instead of telling people to get the vaccine, you're telling people not to get the vaccine because it's your choice. Not to listen to government, because government shouldn't be advising you, telling you what to do. Okay, all right, one tweet out of eight was a bad tweet. Here's another one, July 30th. There should be no more lockdowns. Agreed. No more mask mandates. Mask mandates. No more mask mandates. Agreed. Because with the vaccine, we won't have to have them. No vaccine mandates and no vaccine passports. So basically, no vaccine. Because if, as you you do a little bit of research into your own district, you'll see many people aren't getting the vaccine because they don't believe it works, because they think it's harmful, because of all kinds of things that they're being told. And you know where the highest level of people who have not gotten the vaccine in Suffolk County is? The highest level? Mastic Shirley. Do you know where Lee Zeldin is from? Mastic Shirley. Coincidence? I think not. I think people listen to him. I don't blame the people. People follow leaders. Leaders are supposed to lead. Lee Zeldin is no leader. Unless going to your death is where your destination is. More tweets? Okay, I'm starting to get the idea here. Okay. All the way back to January 30th. Can't believe this is in random order. So backwards, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed should have front-of-line access to the death penalty, not a COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, so this is before the vaccine even existed or was made available to us. And he's spewing forth hatred towards somebody and calling for death instead. He seems to just want to call for death of everybody. Definitely not a go out and get your vaccine tweet there. But it was pre when it was available, so I'll let that one go.
It doesn't seem like it sounded too concerned about the right thing.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
Well, unless death to somebody you don't like is the right thing.
I think it missed the mark, though, you know, for like how much people were focused on health.
I give it a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, definitely.
This is July 14th. No student at any level, grade school, higher ed, or otherwise, should be mandated to take the COVID vaccine to attend classes in the fall. Lee, what is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you? Why is this the hill you want to die on? Why? Why? Students being told to take a vaccine to go to school. First of all, it's not the first time. All right, smallpox and things like that. There are mandates in place to say, hey, are you vaccinated? Are you going to spread all kinds of disease to your fellow classmates? It's not unusual. And we're in the middle of a pandemic, in case word hasn't filtered out to you. So this is important, and it's not simply the Suffolk County executive saying this. It's not the governor saying this. All doctors who understand this particular form of medicine, epidemiologists and scientists and people who have devoted their lives to this kind of thing, agree this is the best way forward. Who are you to say students shouldn't get a vaccine? Why would you say that? What is the end goal here? Having students who are not vaccinated ensures the disease spreads. And at Stony Brook, here at Stony Brook, we are mandating that students get the damn vaccine if they're going to set foot on campus. And I'm fully in support of that, as are most people, I would hope.
Yeah, you know, this one, I think, the mistake here is you're getting students mad at you.
Yeah.
You know? It seems like a pet issue, you know, like it's a personal thing, but you're not realizing that students are constituents too. And also, how many school nurses would laugh at that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you kidding? We are always checking to make sure new students, transfer students, everybody is taken care of as far as immunizations. They're totally familiar. Ask any buddy who's running a school, principals, you know, people that care and realize the logistics of the environment that they're in charge of.
June 11th. No one in the United States should be forced to take the COVID vaccine against their will. There should also be no vaccine passports in our state and country, which New York calls the Excelsior Pass. Okay, so I'm seeing a theme here. Every single one of these tweets, or this three more, let's get through these quickly, three more left. May 17th, New York should absolutely not be utilizing vaccine passports. Privacy and freedom should instead be protected by government, not infringed. Yeah, God forbid government protects you from death. May 27th, even though I am fully vaccinated. Yeah, look who got his ass vaccinated early on. May 27th. Even though I am fully vaccinated, I oppose making the COVID vaccine mandatory, vaccine passports, and the Excelsior Pass, and New York's decision to remove the religious exemption for vaccines. First of all, I think there still is a religious exemption, but I don't support that.
Sounds like he was eating crow in that while he was writing that. And no, I think that the main issue with, it's mostly alarmist. You know, it's not, hey, everybody, I encourage you to go do this. It's, yeah, by the way, I did this begrudgingly, but I'm still going to cast doubt. Again, alarmist doubt.
You would think that the disease here was the vaccine, the way he's talking. You know, I don't see anything trying to underline the danger of the disease, you know, and how to stay safe and all that. Instead, it's like, don't let anybody tell you to wear a mask or to be socially distant or to not get the virus. You know, it's basically your freedom is at risk by people telling you how to stay alive. Final tweet here, April 6th. I'm sorry for them being out of order. Vaccine passports are an incredibly dangerous, slippery slope, threaten civil liberties and privacy, and disproportionately affect minority communities. You know what disproportionately affects minority communities? Is the damn virus. And you are helping to kill people. And I do not hedge my words here because it is true. We are seeing it around the country with people who are basically implementing these dumbass policies that encourage people not to get the vaccine. And that is why we are seeing the death rate go up throughout the nation. That's why we're still in this mess right now. We should have been out of it. You know, England is now at 75% totally vaccinated. They were well below us only a few weeks ago, and they've gone way beyond us. And it's because of idiots like Lee that this is happening. Idiots like the governor of Texas, idiots like the governor of Florida, idiots like our former president. And they need to be held accountable. They're getting people killed.
I think an actual way to handle this would, if you didn't yourself have enough to say as far as expertise, is to defer. You have a whole county, all kinds of public health people, and all of these could easily have been, you know, retweets or something that supports the public infrastructure that's in place instead of these sort of errant critiques that are just thrown around. And again, with this alarmist nonsense, why not reference the people that are making decisions and lead in that way? You know, I don't know everything. I'm personally, you know, making a personal, you know, do all that personal decision stuff you want. It's kind of too late.
Defer to the experts is what you're saying.
Yeah, instead of sounding bonkers like this.
When did you become communist?
No,
that's how they answer you.
But he's a public official. That's what you're supposed to. I mean,
that means you're supposed to stay out of the public's way. And
but you have access and, you know, at least the names, if you can pronounce them, of the individuals who are doing the work, who can tell you how things are going and what you might be able to speak to, even if you can't actually speak to it technically or morally. I don't know, whatever is, again, you know, you want to sound bonkers, do that, you know, on the weekends with your family or whatever. But leadership is about recognizing the public health imperative and elevating those that are willing to do the work, or at least, as has been said, getting out of the dang way.
I think this emphasizes the importance of leadership in the first place. And like him or hate him, Cuomo did lead to a degree over the last year by updating people, by taking it seriously. I'm disillusioned with hearing a number of people on the left who are bringing up the nursing home thing, because that's a right-wing talking point. And Cuomo did no worse than DeSantis on that score. And, you know, we can go into details about the federal guidelines and what Trump was doing at the time. Look, hold Cuomo accountable for those things that he did. But don't take the word of Republicans who make the accusations. You know, I don't mean individual people who are Republicans. I mean elected officials who want his job. Don't listen to them. They are not trustworthy. Just listen to the facts. Listen to the facts of what people are saying, what he's being charged with, that kind of thing. As far as responding to COVID, there are so many states that did a criminally bad job. And we need to focus on them. We need to focus on those leaders. And if we don't, they win. Okay? If we only focus on the people that are closest to us, then they get away with it scot-free. The Lee Zeldins of the world, the Ron DeSantis's of the world, the Abbotts of the world, there are so many of them. Can't let them get away with it. Trump, of course, my God. When is he going to be held accountable? They were ready to impeach Cuomo in a matter of days, and they succeeded in impeaching Trump two times in 4 years, but nothing happened to him, nothing at all. And we're still waiting for something to happen to him.
There's a lot of confusion around that. I've been feeling the same way, and I think the air has not cleared over any of that.
No. Let's from news there, I have a list of some people that went public with their feelings on the vaccine. Would you like to hear some of these people? These are real people. Here is from John. I'm just going to say their first name. They print their whole name and give their picture and all that, but you know, I'm not going to invade their privacy any more than they've already invaded it themselves. Johnny of Shirley, that's one of Lee Zeldin's neighbors, in fact. He says, "I don't trust the government. Are you kidding me? What they did to Donald Trump." He also said he believes the government puts microchips in vaccines to track Americans. So he will not be getting the vaccine. Only 6 in 10 Long Islanders are fully vaccinated, Langston of Roosevelt, solar panel installer, says he doesn't trust the vaccines because the government has a bad track record of taking care of their people, or so-called taking care of their people. That's especially true in the government's treatment of black Americans, but it's true for all communities pretty much. We've been there before. Why fall for it again? I hear the concern. And, you know, this is what needs to be taught in our classrooms, by the way. You know, this is an important, you know, people like Lee Zeldin will forbid you from learning about this. They'll call it critical race theory and say that, you can't learn anything that shows how African Americans were mistreated in our country because it'll make the kids hate America and think they're racist and nonsense like that. That needs, and I think if it were taught more, then we would be a little bit more open to, okay, how do we proceed in the future? And because we were betrayed in the past, can we move forward into a world where we trust in the science? Because, yeah, if science was misused on you or on anyone, the science isn't what's bad. It's the people that are bad. Are those people still around? Are those people still in charge? Those are the questions we need to ask. If you never trust science again, you never trust the vaccine again because of what was done in the past, believe me, you're the one losing. And it's tragic to see this. We have, here's Maria from Mastic, which is also Lee Zeldin territory. Why she hasn't gotten vaccinated. A relative of ours has told us they put aborted baby fetuses in the vaccine. Well, Maria, you somehow found out about the secret. That's what makes it work, is the aborted baby fetus. No, they don't know sarcasm, do they? Okay. Newsday felt compelled to do a fact check. None of the vaccines contain fetus parts. Although the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was developed using clones of cell lines created decades ago using fetal tissue, maybe that's what you're concerned about. I don't know why this is part of the same paragraph, but Pope Francis has urged Catholics to get vaccinated. So I guess if it's okay by him, it should be okay by you.
They're the authority on life and moral religious bounds, at least as far as the strictures of Catholicism and whatever derivatives adhere to their guidance.
Here's another. These are all Lee Zeldin's neighbors. Mastic Shirley. This is Greg from Shirley. He has a heart condition, is worried the vaccine would endanger him. He's been reading about vaccinated people still getting infected. Why tempt fate by getting this shot? Fact check from Dr. Jacqueline Moline of North Rail Health. Said a small number of cases of
myocardial?
Well, that's not the word, but it's close enough, which causes heart inflammation are linked to vaccines, but it almost always either resolves on its own or after a few days of medication.
Is that chiritis?
Heart conditions do increase risk for severe COVID-19, so they're at far greater risk of getting severely ill or dying from COVID than they are of getting myocarditis. Yeah. So, yeah, one by one, these concerns are being addressed, and I have a feeling that, you know, reading these concerns, not one person will be convinced. Final one, Sam from Mastic Beach. Again, he's out in this neighborhood. He's concerned about potential long-term effects of the vaccine. Okay, there's no quote here, unfortunately. Again, Dr. Jacqueline Moline said negative side effects of vaccines are almost always seen in the first days or weeks. And with any vaccine, you're not going to all of a sudden develop something 6 months later related to a vaccine. So, a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of misinformation. And, you know, you hear it everywhere. You even hear it on our own airwaves, I'm sorry to say. I'm not pointing to any particular person, time, day, whatever, but it's everywhere. It's on both of the stations we work with, and it's in communities you never would expect it to be in, because people are susceptible. People are susceptible to myth, to misinformation, to fear, to superstition, you name it. And it's something you have to be wary about. I'd like to be able to say, listen to WUSB, you will always hear something that is trustworthy. It's not true. We're human beings. And occasionally, a human being will get behind the microphone who is susceptible to misinformation. And, you know, usually that's not really cause for concern, because you can laugh at misinformation many times if you believe it is misinformation. You know, people who believe the earth is flat, is there really harm in hearing them out and listening to their theories and asking, well, then how do you get to the other side of the earth? You know, all sorts of questions that you could ask forever and just have a grand old time. But this is different. This is life and death, quite literally. And I'm hearing cases, maybe I'm the only one, but I'm hearing more cases now that are closer to me. In other words, a friend who loses people in the last day, a friend who loses a relative who's young in the last day. I don't remember that last year. I remember hearing cases that were a little bit further removed, but these ones seem to be hitting closer to home, and the people are younger. And we're hearing where our kids are going to be affected if this gets much worse. Our kids, meaning children. And how are we going to feel if and when that starts happening? Are we going to be listening to the people who say that it's part of a government plot with microchips and baby fetuses and all kinds of other baloney like that? I sense the mood is changing. I sense that people have had enough. And I hope that we speak out against this whenever we hear it, even if it's on our own airwaves or in our own family or from our friends, from our neighbors. And we stop being so nice, and we stop tolerating all these things that are killing us. Because, seriously, we've had enough. We've been going through this for over a year now. There is a solution, the closest thing to a solution we have. Look at England. I mentioned England is at 75%. Now, a couple of weeks ago, they had their Freedom Day, which a lot of people thought was ill-advised, because they just kind of opened everything up and said, well, let's see what happens. It didn't go so badly. It didn't go so badly at all. Now, of course, people are always concerned it's going to go badly. And just because it doesn't go badly doesn't mean that their concerns were ill-founded. What it points to is that having that vaccine rate go up the way it did, that had an effect. Having 75% of the population fully vaccinated really had an effect in keeping this thing from getting out of control all over again. So that, to me, is more evidence. And, you know, we just passed 50% in this country. I am so dismayed, because we were doing so well at the beginning. And now we just hobbled over the 50% mark. No, that's not enough. We have to get to where England is. They were behind us. Now they're way ahead of us. If we get to 75%, then a lot of these concerns are no longer concerns. Still, we have problems with the 25% that are left. And also with the potential of something developing that can get past the vaccine. I'm really worried about that. But anything that does not encourage people to go out there and get vaccinated now is a disgrace, a disservice, something that is directly hurting all of us.
Absolutely. And pay attention to your health care providers and their guidance and watch some of the numbers. Basically, the caseloads are doubling or have in the last week. So it's a very important in the United States and in many places, but specifically where vaccination rates are much lower, to be very cautious and aware.
Common sense is starting to take hold in some places. I don't know if it's a trend. I don't know if it's going to continue. I do know a judge ruled against Governor DeSantis's insane law that basically made it illegal for cruise ship operators to insist that their passengers be vaccinated. In other words, no, you will have infected people on your ships and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, a judge struck that down, supported them in their action against him. And how do you support that kind of harmful action against people? I mean, I words fail me, as you can see. And there are so many other bad things he has done. Now, Governor Abbott, of course, in Texas, he had a defeat today. There's a temporary restraining order that allows San Antonio and Baxter County to impose mask mandates. He said no mask mandates, despite the fact that the infection rate is going way up in our state. No, you can't tell people they have to wear a mask in school. Insane. And something else, too. A school wouldn't have to tell anybody if they have positive cases. They're protecting the virus. It makes no sense whatsoever. So, you know, I'm hoping that more and more of these rulings come down, because that is common sense. You have a situation like this, you have to act responsibly. They are not doing that.
Yeah, that's just wildly reckless behavior from leadership. I don't know how they can possibly imagine that this will be good for them in the end, for their people. And I think that it's interesting to see the way our sort of local systems work, where in many ways these leaders felt empowered previously and then are returning to sort of their own local state power, given their upset perhaps at the national outcome of the last election. But even then, in their states, the decentralized sort of even more local counties and regions and larger cities can also then challenge them, as their leadership itself is just manifest in this, like, contrarian reckless style that is just to gaslight or to prove some righteous point they think will keep them in power. But there's blowback from that, because the thing they're clinging to protect themselves nationally is the very thing that counties will use. And I just love that. Within states that perhaps have this leadership, this crass leadership, they also realize their levers and ways they can respond even more locally. And that is one of the beautiful parts of our system and how it's supposed to work. So I hope people feel emboldened and don't let this recklessness lead the day.
Yeah. Some of you may remember a right-wing radio host in Florida. A lot is happening in Florida. I wonder why. This guy was a radio host and an anchor on Newsmax TV, that channel I never watch. His name was Dick Farrell. He's a vocal and staunch advocate against the coronavirus vaccines, which he posted about on social media, calling them bogus. He railed against figures like Dr. Anthony Fauci, whom he called a lying freak. However, after he contracted COVID-19 himself, his attitude about the vaccines and the virus changed. COVID basically convinced him. This guy who was known as the other Rush Limbaugh. And we don't want to see this happen to anybody, even people we fiercely disagree with. He died last Wednesday of complications from COVID-19. He fought like a tiger. It's according to his partner, Kit Farley. Please don't put off getting attention for this illness. Yes, for some it has minimal effects, but others it is deadly. His, like I said, his attitude totally changed. Basically, a friend wrote, COVID took one of my best friends. R.I.P. Dick Farrell, he is the reason I took the shot. He texted me and told me to get it. He told me this virus is no joke, and he said, I wish I had gotten it. These things are really happening. Phil Valentine, American conservative talk radio show host in Nashville, Tennessee, broadcast daily on WWTN. Known in Tennessee for leading protests against a proposed state income tax. Known for his public skepticism regarding the dangers of COVID-19. As of this month, he is severely ill with the disease. His family reportedly seeking treatment for him on an ECMO machine. Again, don't want to see this happen to anybody, but it can happen to anybody. And if you don't take it seriously, it could happen to you. And if you do take it seriously, but you encourage others not to, there's just no excuse for that at all. And we see that so many times, especially in the political world, people who won't say if they got the vaccine, they get it quietly, like Trump did, but they encourage other people not to, either directly or by ridiculing certain people, by making it seem as if they don't know what they're talking about, or the disease is not as bad as they say, or the vaccine causes all kinds of other problems. Yeah, and they're responsible for their actions. They need to be held accountable. There are so many other cases. We don't have time to read through them all, but lots of people who have not taken this seriously are wishing they had. And it's a damn tragedy. Any other thoughts on this, or should we move on to our next feature?
I think we're ready.
Are we? All right. You have to throw the switch.
Which one? That one?
No.
Oh, wait, hold on.
There you go. You've thrown it 100 times before. Are you giving me grief for?
I got confused. So.
Okay. When we come back on microphone, try to act a little bit more professional.
I've been trying. You know I've been working on it, but I got to tell you.
You know, so, after the show, let's have a discussion.
Okay, all right, are we ready?
Turn the microphone. Oh, for God's sake. And it's time once again for our sustaining feature, Films of the Year That Was. This is the feature where Kyle and I venture back into time to view a film that has won the Academy Award. We started in 1929 and are currently at 2003, 2001, 2010, what, 2000, you're holding up an okay symbol, what?
No, that's three fingers.
Oh, three fingers, I didn't see the three fingers.
To affirm your suggestion, yes, Emmanuel, we've done it.
What have we done?
We've made it to 2003 and L'Invasion Barbare.
Why do you insist on always reading it in the foreign language title when there's a perfectly good English translation below it?
Because this is the foreign language. You know what? That's not the important part.
The
this
Barbarian
one,
Invasions, I believe, is the title that we would know this film by.
That's right. Directed by Denis Arcand. Written also by him. And starring Rémy Gérard, Stephanie Rousseau, Dorothy Berryman.
You're in French mode now.
Louise Portal, and
French-Canadian.
A bunch of other people. It's Canal and Telefilm Canada.
Yeah, it was
incredible.
Good. It was something else.
Amazing, outstanding photography, like a lot of surreal beauty and natural surroundings, but... The story is fascinating.
Well, that opening shot in the Quebec hospital.
Yes.
That is something, you know, worth seeing on its own. Just going down these endless hallways with
it's
patients lined
minutes.
Up. Yeah, it really is. It's
enthralling.
It is.
You recognize how real it is, and there's no cut. You go from absolute solace and quiet in like a break room or a nurse or a registered nurse is gathering themselves and basically getting ready to go out and do their round.
Yeah.
And this particular, the job of this caregiver is to give communion and at least that's the part of their shift. But I think... she's a religious order.
Well, it's a religious hospital.
The hospital, yeah, okay.
It's supposed to be a religious hospital.
But there's also this aspect of the national healthcare system as well.
A national healthcare system that's kind of falling apart. So it's a bit of a condemnation of the Canadian healthcare system. But I just might rebut that by saying none of the people in there were paying a penny for that awful care they were getting. Whereas in this country, you could go through a similar hallway and be paying tens of thousands of dollars for the privilege of sitting out there in the hallway waiting for a room to open up.
And it turns out, okay, so this plays a very interesting part because the subject is the son of a great sort of intellectual, a writer, I believe. He's a voracious reader, but he's also a philanderer. And this is... his father, and his last days. Essentially, he is terminally ill and is summoned by the husband's ex-wife.
Just to clear it up, the father is terminally ill. He's summoning the son,
yes,
who works in England, and basically the film is about all these people gathering together for the last days.
Correct.
Of this former writer, professor, intellectual. And it's just, it's a fascinating look at how you deal with that situation. There's no magic bullet. There's no a miracle. You know, you think that there might be, but this is not an American film, so it's more realistic.
And it's cool because Sebastian is the son, reluctant about basically how his father broke up the family and his own upbringing, but realizes in gathering his friends... some of their why they are the way they are, and they're largely social democrats and supporters of Quebec nationalism.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of an illusion in that way. That was my point with this. And essentially, he goes on a road trip to the U.S. to get some tests. But going back to this crazy hospital, it was incredible. In the first shot, they're putting up wires. They're doing all this stuff. The soundscape is just intense.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you realize is there's an entire floor of the hospital that's unused. And Sebastian realizes this, and being a sort of business type, he's a bit pragmatic, realizing this place just works one way, and that if he's going to get anything, it's going to have to take some bribery in this case.
Some mega bribery.
He goes for it, trying to arrange this floor, has people rearrange it, and ultimately prevails in this bizarre system that would have otherwise just said, you know, your father's lucky he isn't left in the hallway, let alone sharing a room.
Right.
And so the family and friends eventually create a way for him to convalesce at a... vacation house as sort of a end of life choice, and the reason is they didn't want him on morphine because he was in terrible pain. He had some kind of growth, and this debilitating condition led Sebastian to hear that heroin was much more effective. So there's this entanglement through some of the family and the old friends with a drug user who agrees to administer his father while he's in this second floor of the hospital. Well, that leads up to him choosing to end his own life via an overdose with this this final weekend with friends.
Spoiler alert. Don't listen to the last 30 seconds if you don't want to know how it ends. But yes, that is what happens. And in fact, there's a great scene before where Sebastian, the son, goes to a police station and asks them, you know, you guys work in the heroin trade, stopping, you know, heroin dealers. And my father is terminally ill in great pain. Can you tell me where I can get heroin? It's just this very naive interaction, but charmingly done. And it's a film that's sad, but that doesn't mean it's not worth watching. Also, we found out afterwards, it's a sequel to a film that came out a number of years before called The Rise of the American Empire, which has the same characters, the same actors, but in a totally different scenario. So that's worth watching. I understand there was another film that followed afterwards, too, called The Decline of the American Empire.
Okay, sorry. What I was reading is about the decline of the American Empire.
That's the one that followed, but, you know, it won't have the guy who died in it, obviously.
Got it. Yeah, you know what? I need to see or catch both of those to really understand this, mm-hmm. to realize
it's... Well, that's the thing. I think we can understand this film without having to see the one before it.
You get, and I think, like the cop interaction is incredible, like that he's the drug detective, he has this fascinating view of, well, you know, I'm just out here keeping things safe, you know, he's just watching things, and he realizes, has this sort of inevitability of, you know, how the comings and goings of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you pointed out each character could go on a bit, you know, you wanted to know more.
Yeah,
they all had so
each
much.
Each character was interesting enough that I think they could merit their own film.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our film, our international film, our foreign film from 2003, was it? And we haven't gotten to the domestic one yet. We will, hopefully, by next week. All right. And that really heats up the room, by the way. excuse me. We have a couple of things left to...
Sorry about all the dust.
Yeah. It's, ugh, boy. On a hot day like this. Heat advisory, by the way, folks, up until 8 p.m. tomorrow, so don't do anything that involves... exercise or sweating.
And take breaks.
Girl Scouts have released 100,000 ladybugs at Pine Lawn Memorial Park and Arboretum. The ladybug beetle is a deadly predator to aphids and other garden pests, but to 8-year-old Grace Bulanowski of East Northport, it just tickles a bit. Well, you're not supposed to have them crawl on you, Grace. Supposed to release them. Never mind. The oval-shaped insect, most commonly known as a ladybug, is so good at destroying creepy crawling nuisances that each one can devour 5,000 aphids in its lifetime. Oh, you know, I know why the Girl Scouts get the credit, because we did this weeks ago. They released 100,000. We released 1,500 just here, you know, outside the studio. And you know, for a couple of days, we saw the ladybugs hanging out on the plants, on the sunchokes, all kinds of things, and they all kind of disappeared after that.
Well, this is a good time of year because they need to find and establish some residence so they can overwinter. So that's the important thing, is getting them in early enough in the season that they can establish. I'm presuming some stuck around where we released some. But 100,000, those are good numbers.
Well, yeah, but that's Pine Lawn. That's a huge space, so I don't think... I hope they're out there. Although I did see an ant milking an aphid, that's a weird thing to watch. They climb up the plants and they come upon an aphid and they take care of it and then they move on. And it's just weird nature.
The ants bite. They get really defensive, like mm-hmm. guarding stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
And let's see. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran today vetoed a bill that would give police and other first responders the right to sue when they face, quote-unquote, discrimination from protesters. That was insane. And I don't think any ambulance drivers were concerned about this. It was basically cops wanting more power against demonstrators. We're not talking about people who physically attack. We're talking about people who might chant something that they don't like or harass them in their eyes in some manner that would have allowed them to sue for damages up to $50,000. Imagine having cops sue you because you're at a protest. So it was basically passed and by the legislature and vetoed correctly, I think, by the Nassau County executive. So these are the kinds of threats that we have to worry about on a daily basis. This one was averted. All right, we are pretty much out of time. You can write to us, otw@2600.com.
We now present Willard Money System. And now, Willard Money System.
And before he takes over, good night, everybody.
Keep listening and think for yourselves.
Relax your muscles. I am a business executive.
You don't have to die.
Someone is gently massaging your scalp. Very gently, I repeat.
Get their way.
Would you promise to create jobs?
Absolutely.
Certain men always
get their way.
Let them.
They always have. Always will. Certain men always get their way.
Keep your thoughts on the warmth as it fills your left thigh. It is important to let yourself relax.
And I'm eating pad number 54.
How does that feel?
Certain men.
How are certain men?
Stop getting their way. In the end.
Now,
certain men.
Relaxation gives me increased power.
Always get their way.
I demand that my power grows constantly stronger. And it does.
And I am not at liberty, certain men. Always get their way. In the end.
The collapse of our value structure.
Certain men.
Moral vacuum.
Always.
Relax.
Get their way.
Truth.
In the end.
We're trying to capture opportunities that exist for only fractions of a second.
We're trying to penetrate every country in the world.
Simultaneously.
Certain men and square clouds get their way with Henry Kissinger's belly button.
You can't separate speech from the money that facilitates the speech.
Can't you?
Reality. It's utterly impossible.
Reality will impose certain requirements.
There's a vast political movement growing, arguing that you don't have to die. Not that immortality or any of these improved technologies will be used for everyone. It will go to the rich, to the elite.
Please become a square shape, please. Please become a square shape, please. Please become a square shape, please. I'm going to try to make it a square shape club by using my psychic powers.
I can hire one half of the working class to kill the other half.
The process by which money is created is so simple that the mind is repelled.
These men have been getting their way for hundreds of years.
Loaned into existence.
And there's nothing that you can do to stop them.
Reality.
From continuing to get their way.
Solidify the square.
Certain men and square clouds will always get their way. And the government wants it that way.
I repeat,
the government
gently
wants it that way.
Well, this is not your choice. Is this your choice? This is not your choice. No.
Certain men
will
always.
Money system.
The government They always have, and they always will. Certain men, humiliated, always getting their way, in the end. In the end.
All dollars are loaned into existence. You don't have to die.
The history of civilization is essentially to subdue the universe. All power to you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Keying from the AEO.
Not all men, of course. Certain men.